Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt coming to you again this morning with another lesson in our Assurance Launchpad for Righteous Living series. Today's lesson will be the last lesson in this series. It's lesson 13, and it's entitled Confidence in the Face of Conflict. This lesson will be taken from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, and the lesson is for Sunday morning, April the 18th, 2021. Today's lesson theme verse is found in the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 20, where John writes these words. He said, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." As we look at the lesson today, I want to ask you this question. Are you seeking God's will for your life personally as you serve him in 2021? Are you seeking God's will for your life personally as you serve him in 2021? As we look at this, our final lesson in this series entitled Assurance, Launchpad for Righteous Living, this question haunts me. And I don't say that to make you think that I'm not in God's will, but I want each of the members of the Conqueror Sunday School class to know that as they serve the Lord, that you are serving him in his will. You know, there are different ways to serve God, and different ways of serving God produce different results in our serving the Lord. And I want you to understand today that as we serve the Lord in this new year, 2021, we need to know that we are serving him in his perfect will. As we look at this year of challenges and trials with regard to being able to even go to church or attend Sunday school, or even to go out soul winning or run the Sunday school bus routes, have we become discouraged and even complacent in the fact that we have not been able to do the things that we normally do in such a long time? Do we still have the confidence in the Lord in the face of this conflict that we have during this COVID situation? I want you to know this today. In our lesson's theme verse, what John was trying to get those early church Christians to see and to understand about God, he wanted them to look beyond all their troubles and all their trials so as to know that they were not only saved, but so that they could be confident about their faith in God and in their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The false teachers had caused great doubt and much fear to come into their lives. But I want you to notice here that it is God's word that gives them confidence and strength, especially in the midst of the conflicts that they were enduring. Back in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, there is a wonderful story of faith that I want you to remember. After Jesus had been crucified and buried and then risen again, the disciples witnessed the fact of his resurrection. And while at first they did not believe, after they had seen him in their presence, they rejoiced in knowing that Jesus truly was alive, all except for Thomas, who was not there, and he wasn't present when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. Now, though the other disciples had been convinced that Jesus was alive, and they had even tried to convince Thomas that Jesus was truly alive, Thomas refused to believe their story unless he could personally see and personally touch and personally feel the risen Savior. You see, his refusal to be where he should have been when he should have been there had caused him to lose confidence in the one he had supposedly loved and been with for some 3.5 years prior. This is one good reason that we need to be found faithful to the house of God for Sunday school, for each of the church services that God's made available to us each week. We don't want to miss out on the blessing of seeing Jesus when the Word of God is preached. Do you understand that today? John could have very easily left this part of the story out when he penned the Gospel of John, but thank God that he followed the admonition of the Holy Spirit of God, and he wrote these words found in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Let me read them to you here just a moment. Beginning here in verse number 24, John writes, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they which have not seen, and yet have believed. Now look at verses 30 and 31 in that same chapter. Look at what he said. The Bible says here, John wrote, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The Holy Spirit of God had a purpose in John writing what he wrote. But what was that purpose, preacher? You may ask. Well, we see it here in verse 31, where John writes, But these are written that you might believe. You see, all the signs and wonders that Jesus did are not contained in the Word of God. There's no way that you could contain everything that Jesus did. But these are written. Why? That you might believe. And that believing, you might have eternal life through his name. God wants his children to have confidence, assurance, so that they can trust God and trust his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when the situations in our world cause us to doubt, and when false teachers and other non-believers rise up against us to cause us to doubt the validity of the Word of God. You could say that this is the will of God for every person living on this earth. Four things. Now listen to me. Write this down. If you don't have the outline, write it down. These things you could say is the will of God for every person living upon this earth. Number one, that all men might be saved. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, God wants them to be saved. You say, but preacher, how do you know that? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible said, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word all includes the all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God wants all people to be saved. That's the number one will of God for every person that's ever been born upon the face of planet Earth, that they might be saved. But number two, that all men might be sanctified. God not only wants us to be saved, but he wants us to be sanctified, living in his will. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And look at these verses with me just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes here. He says, Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God wants us, folks, to live a holy and sanctified life. He wants us to be saved, but he wants us to be different. And the only way we can be different is to have that desire through the Word of God to be cleansed by the Word of God and be sanctified, be cleansed, be holy in his sight. But then number three, God's will for every person upon this earth is that all might be spiritually satisfied. You know what? The world today seems like they're not satisfied with anything. And they seem to think, boy, if I could just have a little more, a little more, a little more. But folks, you and I need to be spiritually satisfied. We need to be willing to give thanks unto God for all that he has done for us and be content with such things as we have. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 said this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen, does that include the good things? Yes, it does. But it also includes the bad times, the rough times, the times that we have to really seem to fight against all the demons and devils of hell. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But then number four, God's will for every person upon this earth is that all men might be serving in certainty. God wants us to serve him with the confidence, with the certainty that we are doing exactly what God has saved us to do. Turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter 6, and I want you to look at verses 68 and 69. John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. The Bible said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, if you don't know that today as a child of God, you need to have certainty. You need to have confidence. And that confidence comes only from staying in the Word of God. Stay in the book, folks, and allow the book to stay in you. Now look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 20. This is our theme verse for our lesson today. He said, and we know, K-N-O-W, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Folks, God wants us to be saved. God wants us to be sanctified. God wants us to be spiritually satisfied. And God wants us to be serving in certainty. Oh, that today you and I might have this confidence, even in the face of conflict, that we are serving the true and living God. He lives in us, and we are living in him. Now let's look at this lesson today from the book of 1 John chapter 5, beginning here in verse number 13. The lesson again is entitled Confidence in the Face of Conflict. Follow along with me with the lesson plan there online. If you don't have a lesson plan, stop by the church here. There's a music stand standing here right in front of Conqueror Sunday School class. We'll have a prayer list on there for the week, and you'll also be able to pick up a copy of the lesson outline. All right, now let's look at this lesson outline today. Beginning in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Point number one, I want you to see the confidence of eternal life. The confidence that you and I as born again Christians have of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 we read these words. These things, John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, in order to have confidence in the face of conflict, a person must first have all his confidence or her confidence in the fact that they are truly saved and that they do indeed have eternal life as a gift from God. Many people that you meet today think that they're going to be in heaven one day simply because of their religious affiliation, or perhaps because of their religious heritage or their family patronage, or perhaps because they feel that they're a good person and that a loving God would never allow them to have to go to hell when they die. But when you ask them the question, are you 100% certain that if you died today that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven? They question the fact of whether anybody can even know that for certain or not. And in order, folks, to have the confidence in the face of battle, you must first know that you're on the winning side in the battle. You've got to have confidence of eternal life. John wrote here in this passage to Christians who needed reassurance of their faith. He wrote here, and he told me, he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." As we've already seen, in the Gospel of John, John wrote to convince people that they could believe in Jesus Christ and trust him for salvation from the wages of sin. But here in the book of 1 John, John writes to those people who have already believed. They've already been saved. They've already accepted Jesus as their own personal Savior. But now they simply need strength. They need confidence in the midst of all their fears and doubts. They need confidence in the face of conflict. They needed confidence, again, because false teachers had tried to undermine and cause confusion among the believers in John's day, and these attacks had caused many of the believers to doubt God and to even doubt his holy word. And isn't this the same thing that the devil has done ever since the Garden of Eden? He's questioned the word of God. He's questioned God's intentions for mankind, and he continues to do that even in our day today. But John, as any good pastor should, John loved his people, and he wanted them to trust God, and he wanted them to trust God's word. Folks, that's my desire for you as a member of the Conqueror Sunday School class. I want you not only to believe on Christ as your Savior, but I want you to love him enough that you can trust him, believe his word, know that God has a special will for your life. Listen, God wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust his word, especially in the light of salvation. So under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, John penned this epistle of 1 John for three main reasons. I want you to see this morning. Number one, John wanted to remind those early church believers of their faith in Christ. Look at what he said. He said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." He wanted to remind those early church believers of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But number two, John wanted to reassure those early church believers of their position in Christ Jesus. Look at what he said. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Folks, you need to know. Don't doubt God's word. Don't doubt salvation in Christ. You need to be reassured that you have a position in Christ. You have eternal life in Christ. And it only comes as a result of you believing the word of God and placing your faith in Christ as your own personal Savior. But fact number three is this. John wanted to rebuild their confidence in Christ Jesus. The false accusers had caused them to doubt God's word. The false teachers of their day had caused them to doubt whether God's word was true or not. But look at what he said here in this verse again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Again, he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," K-N-O-W, "know that ye have eternal life." And look at number three, "and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Honey, my faith, my trust is not in man. It's not in the church. It's not in my religion, but it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth to die, to be buried, and to rise again to give me my eternal life, to give me confidence in Christ. What a difference. What a true difference confidence in Christ makes in the lives of each and every born-again child of God. And each and every year, if only we would keep our eyes on Jesus instead of men, instead of the things going on around us, if we allowed the Lord to give us the confidence that we need to have each and every day through His Word, oh, how much more we could do for God each and every year that God allows us to be upon this earth. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this old earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Folks, John said, I want you to know that you have eternal life. And that word know means he wanted them to be assured of this thing. He wanted them to have the certainty of their salvation. The devil and his crowd, he wants to cause us to doubt the Word of God and to doubt whether God can or will do what He says He will do and He can do in our lives. But John wrote these things in verses 9 through 12 of this chapter so as to give us the assurance and the confidence of eternal life from God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christians understand that they truly do belong to Christ and that there is nothing that can ever separate them from the Lord God who has saved them, that knowledge will give them the confidence that they need to be victorious over the devil and over the wiles of the devil and all the things that tempt us to stray away from God in this world. When we accept Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, God gives us eternal life, and we are His, and honey, He is ours. Amen? What a blessing to know that we can have confidence of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But point number two is this. John writes these words so that we also might have confidence for prayer. Confidence for prayer. Look at verses 14 and 15. Look at what the Bible says here in these verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Not in ourselves, folks. Look at this. It's not in us. It's not in our church. It's not in the preacher. But it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Folks, to be asking in God's will means that you and I have to be living in God's will. Folks, God wants us to live in His will. Why? So that we can have confidence when we come to Him and we ask of Him in the things that we need. Look at verse 15. He said, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. In other words, John said, listen, if you know you're living in God's will and you know that He hears you when you pray, then you can know that whatever He answers and says, that God's going to give to you. Now, that doesn't mean you go out here and pray, well, Lord, let me win $1 million through the lottery. Number one, the lottery is illegal. It's wrong. It's gambling, and you shouldn't be doing it as a child of God. But number two, you don't need to pray amiss. You don't need to pray. Listen, we need to just ask God to take care of us and give us the things we need from day to day. He's going to take care of us. We need to pray in His will, and we need to make sure that our confidence is knowing that when we pray, He will hear us, and we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. One of the greatest confidences that a Christian can have is the assurance that they can go directly to God in prayer, no matter where they are, and no matter what time of the day or night they may need Him. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And again, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we read these words, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our confidence, folks, it's not in ourselves, but it's rooted in the faithfulness and in the very promises of God to hear us when we pray. When a child of God prays according to the will of God, they are in fact surrendering their will to God's perfect will. Prayer is not our demanding that God do something for us, but rather it is our asking God to do what is best for us. And just as a loving parent hears the needs of their child and knows what is best for them, that parent may not always give their child exactly what they want all the time, but they give them what they need, and they're there to hear their requests. John reassured those early church believers that they could have confidence for prayer in their lives each and every day. What a blessing, folks, it is to have the privilege of going directly to a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God when we have a need in our lives. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? Then number three, look at this. John wrote and he said in verses 16 through 18, I want you to have confidence about sin. Confidence about sin. Look what he said, verses 16 through 18. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now in verses 16 through 18, John applies the principle set forth in the preceding verses about prayer to Christians praying for one another, and especially for those Christians who have sinned against God and who may be out of fellowship with God and even with other believers. We as Christians need to remember something, that even though we are eternally saved from the penalty of sin, we are still living in a robe of flesh that is tempted and tried by the adversary, the devil, to sin. And if he can tempt us to sin, he'll do it. If he can throw out something there to cause us to doubt God's word, he'll do it. This is why it's so important, folks, to take prayer seriously. We need to pray for ourselves. Yes, we need to do that. But we especially need to love and to pray for one another as well. When we see a brother or a sister dibble-dabbling in sin or who has fallen into sin already, we need to pray for God to restore that brother or that sister back to fellowship with God as well as with other believers. That's what verse 16 is all about. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, that we as Christians have a responsibility to pray for our brothers and our sisters who fall into sin. Look at what the Word of God says. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Were it not for the grace and mercy of God, folks, we could find ourselves in the same situations as so many others are in today. We need to remember that in the Old Testament times, God established laws to deal with different types of sin. For sins that were committed unintentionally or even unknowingly, God provided a system of sacrifices and ceremonies that restored a sinner to fellowship with God and with those whom they may have committed the sin. But folks, for those sins that were done intentionally, premeditatedly, and were high-handed offenses, God's law required death. That's what God thought about those sins. And as we know in verse number 16, the Bible said here that it talks about that sin unto death. That sin unto death is refusal to believe and to receive Christ Jesus as Savior. And the penalty of that sin is not just physical death, but it's spiritual death and eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. John wrote about this in the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 18, when he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And here in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, John taught the early church Christians, they don't need to pray for those who have rejected Christ as their Savior to somehow still be able to get into heaven when they died, because there's only one way, folks, for a person to get into heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sins must be forgiven. They must have received the debt paid for in full for their sins by faith in Christ Jesus. There's only one way to have forgiveness of sin, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So John here is warning his readers not to ask God to change his way of thinking about sin or requesting special terms for those who have rejected Christ as their Savior. But ultimately, all unbelievers commit the sin unto death by refusing to believe in Christ as their only means to eternal life with God. The Bible reminds us of this in Luke chapter 16, and also in the book of Revelation, which John penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, when he said in two places, first in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, he said, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And then in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, he wrote these words. He said, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." In 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, John reminded those early Christians that sin is sin, no matter who commits it, and it should be taken seriously, folks. 1 John 5, 17, he said, "All unrighteousness is sin." There's no big lies and little lies. There's no white sins and black sins. There's no big sins and little sins. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Then in verse number 18, John describes the general character that ought to be found in every Christian's life. Look at it. Every person birthed into God's family does not continue to lead a life that is continually characterized by sin. When I got saved, God didn't make me perfect, but he sure did change my wonder. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to do those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And look at what he said here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. He said, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." John here is emphasizing the fact that the child of God who guards and he keeps himself from sin has the victory over sin. And because of this, God keeps him from harm, from the wicked one, the devil, who wants to do everything he can against the child of God. Folks, there is no intentional desire anymore to do that which is unholy and sinful in the eyes of God. Jude said it like this in Jude verse 24 and 25. He said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." You see, Christians can have confidence about sin because they believe God and they've taken God at his word. And we don't have the desire to do that which is not pleasing unto God anymore. Sure, the devil's going to tempt us. Sure, the devil's going to try to throw up things in front of us to remind us of our past before we got saved. But honey, if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're on the winning side. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can have confidence and knowing that sin will not have the victory in your life if you'll trust God and take his word for exactly what it says. But then number four, I want you to see this. We can have confidence in Christ. Look at verses 19 and 20. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In these two verses, John states the facts that every Christian needs to know and understand. Look at it. Number one, he tells us that there is a definite distinction between those who belong to Christ and those who still belong to the world. John reminded them here of the confidence that was in Christ and of the difference that Christ had made in their lives. And look at it here again in verse number 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Listen, folks, don't lose sight of what Christ has done for you. When he saved you, he made the difference in your life. You're not what you used to be. And honey, we are not yet what we're going to be when we get to heaven. Those who are still in the world, they're still in darkness. They're walking in the darkness of sin. They're under the control of the wicked one. But oh, thank God for Jesus Christ and for the confidence that we have in Christ as our blessed Redeemer, our precious Savior, and our eternal friend. And in verse 20, look what he said. John reminds those early church Christians of that new spiritual discernment and understanding that only God can give unto those who are saved when we know Christ as our own personal Savior. When we see the things happening in our world today, we as Christians, we need to have hope. We can have hope. And while the world rocks and reels and they fret and they fear and they worry about what's going to happen next, honey, you and I can have confidence in knowing that everything's all right in our Father's house. And it's all according to God's plan. Look at what he said, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Oh, thank God for that confidence that we have in Christ Jesus today. But then lastly, point number five, I want you to see the confidence against error. The confidence against error. My soul, how much error is there being taught in our world today? In public schools, they're teaching little children wicked things, vile things that is simply not true. In our colleges today, young people's minds are being twisted and turned into thinking that which is wrong is really right, and that which used to be considered right is really wrong. But folks, God's word gives us confidence against error. Look at what John writes here in verse 21. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. You say, preacher, is that all? Yeah, look what he said. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You know, the Webster's 1828 dictionary defines that word idol as anything upon which we set our affections, that to which we indulge an excessive and sinful attachment. Man, that's a good definition. And John spoke here to those early Christians in his day, and he referred to them as little children, reminding them of their relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also looked at them as his little children, those folks he loved, he was so affectionate for. And he used that term several occasions all throughout this book, and he referred to his readers as his spiritual children, whom he loved and he taught and wanted them to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a fact that God provides spiritual and even physical protection for his children against the wiles of the devil. But it's also a fact that we as God's children must choose to keep ourselves from those things which would cause us to lose our love for God, or which would cause us to give God less than our best. Surely today, as was in the day of John, there are idols, those things that we must learn to avoid in order to have spiritual victories as long as we live today upon this earth. We need to have spiritual victory against those things. Idols of possessions, idols of amusements, idols of becoming lovers of things more than lovers of God, religion and rituals over right relationships with God and the such like, they must all be recognized and avoided at all costs by the child of God. Folks, we've got to learn, as Pastor says, stay in the book. For the book, the Word of God, will indeed keep you from sin. Or else, sin will keep you from the book, which is the Word of God. The devil does not want you going near the Word of God. The devil does not want you to hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against God. So folks, we've got to choose what we're going to do with the Word of God. Folks, let's guard our time. Let's guard how we utilize that precious commodity of time spent alone with God in our world today. We got to take the time. Listen, that's why we've got the Word of God through the telephone line now. You can call that telephone line and you can hear your daily Bible reading. As you're going down the road, as you're just sitting somewhere in your house, you can call that line. You can listen to it. You can call and listen to the lessons online any time of the day. Stay in the book, folks. And if we'll stay in the Word of God, we will recognize the false teachings of our day, and we will indeed become victorious over every temptation that the devil sets before us and the world's crowd today launches out before our eyes. Folks, when things like possessions, leisure, amusements, and even jobs become more important than living for the Lord Jesus Christ, then idolatry has taken over in our heart. And folks, we've got to guard against that. Satan is indeed a master deceiver. And he wants to do all that he can do to cause us to let other things, other idols, come before our faithful service to the one who has saved us and redeemed us. And he will use whatever means available he has to take the place of our true love and devotion unto God through Jesus Christ. He will use any means available to take that away from you. Only by renewing our commitment to Christ can God's children ever be able to keep themselves confidently against error and false teaching. So I ask you again today, folks, what is your purpose? What is God's will? What is your will for your life as a born-again child of God? Are you desiring to be where God wants you to be? Are you desiring to do what God wants you to do? Are you desiring to fulfill the purpose for God's saving you today? Listen, I truly believe that for the born-again child of God, it is that confidence that we have in Him, not in us, but in Christ, that will help us through every trial, every storm, every situation in this world. I truly believe that for the born-again child of God, it is that we have confidence, not only in Christ, but also in the face of spiritual and physical conflict, the Word of God. We have confidence in the Word of God while we live in this world. One day, folks, Jesus is coming back. And man, I don't want to stand before Him ashamed for not having confidence in Him. We can have confidence even in the face of conflict if we'll keep ourselves centered in the Word of God. Now, child of God, will you today be willing to renew that love for the one who has saved you and redeemed you? Will you determine today to put Christ Jesus first in your life, in all the things that you do, as you determine in your heart to serve Him this year? Listen, the devil has gotten folks out of church through this COVID-19 situation. He's gotten folks complacent with staying at home and not going to Sunday school, not going to church, not reading their Bibles as they ought to, not praying for one another as they ought to. But folks, stay in the book. Oh, that God would help you and me to be confident, even in the face of conflict, as together we continue to serve Him this year. And then perhaps there's someone listening to the sound of my voice today that does not yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. My friend, listen, God loves you, and God wants you too to be saved. But you've got to choose what you're going to do with Christ. Either you accept Him for what He says, and you have confidence in Him as your Savior, or you reject Him and you turn them aside, and you spend eternity separated from God in an awful place called hell. My friend, I don't want that to happen for you. God doesn't want that to happen. And if you'll just be willing today to fall upon your knees and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and call on Him to save you, God will do exactly that today. Let's pray as we close this lesson. Father, I love you today, and I thank you so much for the privilege of teaching these lessons. The assurance of our salvation is only in you. Our assurance, our confidence today is only found in your word. And I pray, dear God, that as Christians, you'll help us to live in your will and have confidence, assurance, God, that we are living in your will so that we might be victorious over the wiles of the devil. And God, if there be someone here today that's listening to my voice, they've not yet been saved, God, help them to come to know you today as their own personal Savior before it's eternally too late. I pray, God, that you'll help us to have confidence while we live in the conflicts of this old world. Confidence in you, confidence in your word, confidence over sin through the word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining us these 13 weeks for these lessons from the book of 1 John. Assurance, the launch pad for righteous living. Assurance is that launch pad, folks. And God wants us to live confidently for Him today. Now, next Sunday, we'll be starting a new series of lessons. It'll be taken from the book of Ezra and the book of Esther. I hope you'll join us for those lessons next Sunday right here on this website. God bless you.